Hi, Kat. Welcome back to Book Fair.
Hi, Ash. Welcome back.
Once again, Book Fair is a podcast for readers by readers, answering the question, should I read that? And this week, we are talking about what should you read on spring break?
Yeah, in honor of March spring break time, but also whenever your vacation comes, you can come back to this podcast. If you're taking a spring break, if you're taking a summer break, we have a good list for you this week.
And we'll start off with, Kat, what are you reading this week?
Okay, I finished Redwood Court, which is our next book club book. So I won't say too much about it other than that. I really, really enjoyed it. And Ash, I think you're going to love it when you read it. And listeners, you should definitely pick it up. Worth having in hardback, I think. Or, you know, grab a library copy, of course. But if you're debating the hardback, I really enjoyed it. It's a nice light read. Would be good for spring break, actually. it's just lovely and beautiful and poetic and like a nice warm cup of tea. And I'll be really excited to chat about it with you, Ash, next week.
I'm so excited.
And then I took a real swing in vibes. Real vibe shift.
Okay.
Into Prophet Song, which I know you read this week too. So we can chat about it now, which was the 2023 Booker winner. It's by Paul Lynch. And man, tough one to recommend because it was intense, but it was, I thought, exceptional. Gripping, thrilling, extremely tense. It's not scary in a horror sense, but it's scary in a dystopian, well, not that dystopian, possibility sense. How would you describe it?
Yeah, so I, too, read this book, and I finished it and immediately texted you and said, I need you to read this because I need to talk about it.
Yeah.
It was one that I finished and just kind of sat there blinking for a little while. It is a dystopian novel set in Ireland, but it is, as you said, set in the very near future. Everything feels extremely familiar and just like half a step further than where we are. And that is where I think most of the eeriness comes from, because it is so easy to see how these characters are kind of disregarding signs that it's getting really bad because it doesn't look that different than the world looks right now.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think they ever mention a year. You're not sure, but it could be anywhere from, you know, 2005 to 2025. It felt like a very familiar and intimate sense of the present. Which is, you know, I think it's hard. I have a hard time with dystopian novels with believability. And this is one in that I think often they're like, they're working with metaphors and kind of like bigger theories and ideas. And this one felt like it had all of that, but it also felt extremely real, grounded in a real sense of possibility that made it much more impactful. None of it felt gratuitous or, I keep saying unbelievable and believable, but it didn't feel that dystopian.
And I think it was, I wish I was holding the book, because the ending really struck me when, I won't give it away, but when she's having a conversation with another, with a stranger, and the stranger is talking about, like, oh, when should we have left?
Yeah.
And when do you leave? And how do you leave? Because so often when you're watching or reading a dystopian something, it's so easy to be like, girl, get out of there. Like, the house is on fire. You have to leave. Why are you still here? I would have left so long ago. I never would have made it in this society. And I thought it did a really incredible job of showing you how difficult it is to completely extricate yourself from your own life. And that is the only way that you get out of this.
Yeah, definitely. I think the quote that they, I might be jumbling this a little bit, but the related quote that's repeated a couple of times in the novel is, history is a record of the people that didn't leave soon enough. Or something very similar to that, like the people who didn't know when to leave. And you think that you're going to know, and you feel a sense of camaraderie with the main character, and you feel like she's making the right decisions all along, and it becomes clear that maybe she should have left with her family earlier. But I think I would have been in the same position as her, thinking that I shouldn't leave.
Okay. I want to redo this incredibly long sentence.
Yeah.
That just, like, absolutely destroyed me. She can see that the world does not end, that it is vanity to think the world will end during your lifetime in some sudden event, that what ends in your life and only your life, what is sung by the prophets is but the same song sung across time, the coming of the sword, the world devoured by fire, the sun gone down into earth at noon, and the world cast in darkness, the fury of some god incarnate in the mouth of the prophet, raging at the wickedness that will be cast out of sight. And the prophet sings not the end of the world, but what has been done and what will be done, and what is being done to some but not others. The world is always ending over and over again in one place but not another. And that the end of the world is always a local event. It comes to your country and visits your town and knocks on your door and becomes to others but some distant warning, a brief report on the news, an echo events that has passed into folklore. I read that. That's not even the whole sentence, but I read that, and I think especially thinking about, like, everything going on in Gaza, mm-hmm. and how often the end of the world is an event that is just, like, something on your Twitter account. Like, the world is always ending, and the world is never ending. And it just, like, blew me away.
Yeah. No, that's a great line. And then I think in another point, there was a line that stuck out to me too, where she has a realization where she says, she realizes that the world never ends, your life just ends, or something like that, where it's sort of the same thought inverted, where the world isn't ending, she's just going to die. And that's happening to so many other, like you said, these people and these living these lives in these, their own worlds are ending. But the rest of the world lives on, and it's just their lives that are ending. And I don't really know that it ends with any more reflection than that statement, I think. It doesn't bring us to a point of revelation other than, I think, bringing more awareness and empathy for the worlds that are ending outside of our own. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it wants to zoom out of not only, like, oh, this could be you, but this is already someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really powerful and just a really well done story. The writing was wonderful. As you said, you're in the brain of this mother and you fully understand every choice that she's making. While also being like, you have to make a different choice, but every choice is impossible.
Yeah, I think that I was with her the whole time. I was like, yeah, it makes perfect sense. Like,
you have to do that. Yeah. I loved it, but it was kind of a gut punch.
Yeah, big time. It's not easy reading, but
no, not like a beach read.
No.
I'm glad that we were able to talk about this because I was visiting a friend and I finished reading it. We're sitting outside. It's a beautiful day. We're just like on a patio in a beautiful coffee shop. And I finished it and I just kind of set it down and stared off into space for a few minutes. And she's like, do you need to talk? And I was like, yeah, I do. I really, really do. Like, I really need somebody to read this book and talk to me about it. So thank you so much for always doing that for me.
Yeah. I finished it on the plane and I did the same thing. I finished it and I kind of was like, ooh. And then, like, looked around.
Yeah.
Like, did everyone just see that happen?
Does anyone want to maybe have a quick chit chat about this?
Yeah. And then I just kind of held it. I feel like it's always a little bit weird finishing a book in public. Because you're like, you close it and you know that everyone is watching you end it. And you're like, what do I do? Do I kind of hold it and think about it?
Hold it to my chest.
Yeah. Absorb I was just like, it a little bit. Okay, a couple deep breaths. And I guess I just pull up the password app again now. Like, try to process this alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. But really incredible. And would recommend to everyone except I specifically said, Mom, skip this one.
Tough for mothers.
Yeah. It's about trying to protect. A lot of it is about trying to protect your children. And she does that successfully and unsuccessfully through no fault of her own, through the circumstances around her. But I think a really hard read. You feel the intensity of her love as a mother for these children and how hard it is to keep them safe. And I was like, Mom, you can't read this. This is not for you.
You would not have a good time with this one.
Mm-mm.
Great. Okay. Anything else?
Yes.
I interrupted your list.
No, we needed to talk about that, and I'm glad that we did. I'll just quickly say I'm reading Dune because, of course, I am.
Sure.
Part of Dune Mania. I've never read it. I saw the first movie, loved it. Yeah, I really am. But I think maybe I'm liking it more because I'm very invested in all of the Dune hype right now.
Okay.
I can't speak for. It's not particularly well written, so I can see how
enjoy it.
Yeah, I could see how if I had approached it a couple years ago, I would have put it back down. But knowing the story already. Really loving the movie. Love the first movie. Very excited to see the second. I'm clipping through it with that context. But I would say if you didn't like the movie, absolutely do not read the book. The movie is the movie feels like, I mean, I haven't finished it, but the movie feels like the better version of the story. And now I'm just kind of like picking up more information about a story that I bought into through the movies.
I think the movies do such a good job because so much of it is exposition and world building,
mm-hmm.
which is so much more satisfying in a visual medium.
Yeah, absolutely. And the characters are a little flat on the page. It's not great writing.
Yeah.
The movie has definitely added to the vibrancy of the book.
Okay.
But it's fun. I think if you loved the movie, absolutely pick it up. I'm enjoying it. We'll see what I say when I finish it. It is pretty long.
Great.
Okay. What have you been reading? I know you were actually on spring break last week. What did you get through on your list?
Winter recess, actually.
Oh, sorry. So
close, but I did have a week off work. I did have a week off work, so I got through a few things, some highs and lows for sure. So I finished rereading Passing with my class, and I just have to plug it one more time because it's a perfect book. It's so short. It's like 90 pages and it is incredible from start to finish. Beautiful writing, really interesting story, a really interesting pairing, as I said last time, with Gatsby. So if you're someone like me who is fascinated with that kind of 1920s New York, this like new money, old money, different kinds of status, it is so good. And it's been so fun to read it with my students and watch them engage with it for the first time.
Nella Larson, right?
Okay. Yes. There is a movie version as well on Netflix with Tessa Thompson, so you can check that out.
I've heard
out,
it's good, too.
But the book is incredible.
I didn't realize it was that short, but...
So short.
That's a little extra motivator.
Yeah, you could do it in an afternoon. My favorite narrator of all time.
Mm.
The most interesting.
That's a huge statement.
I know. It's the most interesting, unreliable narration I've ever read. So,
okay, I'm writing that down that this is your favorite narrator of all time because I'm going to think about that. That's like, yeah, it's a big statement.
And you know, I love a narrator. So,
yeah, okay.
It is big. Then obviously Prophet Song. And then I read The Emperor's Soul by Brandon Sanderson. It is a fantasy book that a friend of mine wanted to borrow one of my books, so they gave me one of their favorites as collateral. And so I read it. Not totally my thing. I'm not a huge fantasy reader. But it is a story, basically, in this society, there are forgers. And in order to forge something, you have to understand its history. So they will, like, forge artwork, or you can, like, remake buildings if you, like, know the history of each rock in that building. So I found parts of it interesting. Very short. If you're a fantasy person, probably worth picking up. Not totally my thing, but I always enjoy reading books that my friends like, even if I don't like them, because I feel like I learn a little bit more about them, which is fun.
I haven't read any Brandon Sanderson because I, like you, am not a big fantasy person, except for Harry Potter, which we will discuss in a later podcast. Yeah. But we can't get into that right now.
We don't have time.
We don't have time for that right now. I'm not ready to divulge that part of my personality. But I know that Brandon Sanderson is almost like a genre of himself and sort of a divisive figure in the fantasy world. Yeah. I know this through Sam, through my boyfriend. And I think he's written like 100 books or something. Like, he cranks them out, and there's some I know that different people have different thoughts about him. So I want to know if they think this is the best Sanderson and that's why they gave it to you, or if they thought it was the Sanderson that you would be most likely to enjoy. Because,
oh, interesting. Sure.
I feel like giving someone a Sanderson is like, I can't think of another author who has that much written.
Interesting. Okay.
But interesting. Yeah, I want to know more, basically. Tell us more about Sanderson. Or, listeners, if you know the Sanderson lore, what's up?
Okay.
Did Ashley read the best, or should we stick a pin in this and dig into Sanderson later? Like, did you get the bad taste?
I was told that not necessarily is this the best Sanderson, but a good indication of if I would like Sanderson.
Okay. That makes sense. So maybe a pass for you.
Yeah, I think Sanderson is a pass for me.
I'm going to fully trust you on this and say if it's a pass for you, it's a pass for me.
Okay. And then I also read a book that, unfortunately, I hated. It's called The Courage to Be Disliked. It was for a book club. Part of what I like about book clubs is that they challenge me to read things I wouldn't normally read.
Mm-hmm.
And this is certainly something I would not have picked up on my own accord. And it is a philosophy book that is really focused on, like, living in the present and ignoring your past. I did not enjoy it, but we had a really interesting book club conversation about it, and some people took some really nice nuggets from it that made me respect it a little more, which is part of why I love a book club. But not something that I would recommend. But speaking of recommendations, after I finished my books when I was out of town last week, I went to the bookstore and I picked up The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo because you recommended it as the best vacation read. So I have started that and am thoroughly enjoying. I was reading it outside. It's a beautiful day in New York today. So, so nice to sit in the park. And
I'm so glad.
Page through.
You're liking it so far?
I'm really enjoying it. I find myself just, like, immediately, anytime I'm reading any kind of mystery or thriller, I find that I immediately jumped the weirdest possible conclusion. I'm like, okay, it's not going to be the normal thing. So I'm like, how can this happen? And I start going down crazy rabbit holes. But I find that fun. So I'm really enjoying it.
I feel like this is the type of book that leans into that inclination.
Yeah.
It rewards that. That's what I'm going for. It rewards that. I think that some of yours might actually come true. Because there are some moments in those books where I'm like, wow, I feel like I have a pretty active imagination for disaster. And even I didn't see that coming.
That's what I like about a thriller mystery. So I'm like, wow, it's so good to put my catastrophizing to good use.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what's the worst possible thing that could happen? Let's do that with this instead of our week.
But it's really, I mean, it's got such a good pace, but plot aside, the characters are so excellent.
Great. Well,
I'm glad you're reading it.
I will check back in when I finish it. But shall we move to book news and adaptation news?
Yes. Okay. Big news in the book world. Big news for fans of Sally Rooney, which is almost every 20 or 30 something girl in the world. There's a new Sally Rooney book coming out this fall. It was announced this week, and the name has been announced, and we've also got the first couple sentences of the book in a little synopsis. And I would say expectations are high. Everyone is excited. I'm excited. It's called Intermezzo. It's going to be published in September.
Very Sally Rooney name, honestly.
Absolutely. And interestingly, a slight breach from her past three novels, which we have read, that focus mainly on female protagonists. This has two brothers at the heart of the novel. One is a lawyer. The elder one is a lawyer. The younger one is a chess player. And it's about their grief. Their mother has died. And then the various relationships that they're in. So a very Sally Rooney setup. And but different in that, you know, we don't get a lot of male protagonists with Sally so far. And we got the first, let's see, three lines were published by the publisher who's publishing the book. And I'm going to read them aloud. Didn't seem fair on the young lad, that suit at the funeral, with the braces on his teeth, the supreme discomfort of the adolescent.
I feel like the supreme discomfort of the adolescent is just the epitome of Sally Rooney. That is so good.
Mm-hmm.
That is Sally in her bag, and I am so excited.
I know, I'm really excited, and I am hopeful because I don't think this is an unpopular opinion. Loved Conversations with Friends, loved Normal People. I think both of us read them as they came out.
Mm-hmm.
We were highly anticipating Beautiful World, Where Are You?, which was her last release, which I think came out in 2021. And man, it was a big miss for both of us.
Yeah.
Huge miss.
Huge miss.
Which, totally fair. I don't know a single beloved author of mine that doesn't have at least one or two novels that I'm like, that just did not work.
It is important to take some swings. She's so young.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm okay with it. I don't think it's a sign of her career.
What didn't work for me the most was her like playing with form in the emails, but play with form, please. Experiment. I can't wait to see what you do next. And I think especially for Rooney, so I love the podcast Blank Check about movies that do this, but I'm like, Rooney has Blank Check. Make whatever you want to make.
Exactly. I want to read a bad Sally Rooney? Absolutely. I want to read bad Sally Rooney. Would I rather read great Sally Rooney? Of course. And I hope that this is great. But even bad Sally Rooney is better than most contemporary novels coming out of our generation. So
true.
We're excited.
Okay. We're so excited. September.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have some adaptation news, obviously, as previously mentioned, Dune 2 is out now and the world is loving it. Dune Mania.
I know. Have you seen it yet?
I haven't seen it yet, but I'm excited to see it.
I bet both of us will have seen it by the time this podcast airs.
Definitely. I'm excited to see it. And you saw One Day, the TV adaptation. Tell us about it.
I did. It's on Netflix. It's, I think, 14 episodes. They're about 20 to 30 minutes. It is phenomenal. I cannot recommend it enough for fans of Normal People, the adapted version, the Hulu show. Excellent. It feels very similar to that. We'll talk about One Day later. We'll give more context into One Day. It's by David Nichols. It's a great novel. But it is perfectly suited for TV and that it's told in these, the book is written one, it's one day each year. So it's the same day you see June 17th, or I think it's July 17th, whatever. One day in the summer in 1991. And then the next chapter is that same day in 1992. And so it's really well suited for TV in that each episode is the next year. And you watch this couple, it's just about one couple, Emma and Dex, age and their relationships and what's going on in their lives and their relationship with each other over the course of this one day in 15 years or so. And it was a movie. It was adapted as a movie probably 10 years ago now with Anne Hathaway.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie is bad. I loved the novel and the movie is poor. It is not a good adaptation. And so I came into the TV adaptation a little skeptical. And man, it really did it justice. It's so satisfying to have a book you love told well in another format. So would recommend, but also prepare to weep on your couch uncontrollably. Yeah, it's really beautiful. It's great.
Fucked me up.
Yeah. A lot of really good 90s throwbacks. Like they do a really good job of capturing the time period.
Okay, that
was fun too. Yeah. And Leo Woodall plays Dex, the main. He was in the last season of The White Lotus.
That is, okay, I've been seeing screen grabs from One Day all over Twitter. And I'm like, why do I know this man? Oh my God, mm-hmm. He is so handsome.
He's going to be a star. He's already a star. But he's not, he's got
handsome,
it. He has.
He's an asshole down.
He has such a mastery over his emotions. It was such a beautiful emotional performance. Yeah, great, great adaptation. And I told my mom she's got to read the book. I've been thinking about it. We were at the bookstore in my hometown, and they were sold out of copies of One Day. So I love when that happens, where it kind of brings more attention back to the original book. People come back to it, are reading it, buying it. So that's awesome. Definitely read the book. It's great.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, we will jump into our 30 minutes in, we'll jump into the reason that we are here. which is
being carried away.
Have we been chatting too much? So weird. So unlike us. But we wanted to talk about vacation reads. Our overarching theme really is just books that don't require too much work to dive in and fully enjoy. So we've broken this up into different categories. So we will start with reads like an HBO miniseries. So for this category, you'll see a really dynamic cast of characters, good drama that you can binge either at the weekend at home, sitting by the beach, when you're sitting on a plane, wherever you are, when you want to just gulp down something really good.
Yes. Perfectly put.
Great. Why don't you tell us about our first book on this list?
Okay. We've got a good mix. We tried to pull some favorites that we read a couple years ago and some more contemporary choices from the past 2 years. Ashley and I both read this novel, The Index of Self-Destructive Acts. It's by Christopher R. Beha, B-E-H-A. The Index of Self-Destructive Acts by Christopher H. Beha. This came out in 2021. And it's about a journalist who moves to New York. He's been famed for correctly predicting the outcome of the last presidential election. He's a statistician and a journalist. And he's tasked with profiling a retired political commentator after this political commentator is retired. And he becomes embedded in the commentator's family, and they are an elite, complicated, messy New York family. And so the journalist gets swept off his feet into this family, and it's all about the relationships between him and the person he's interviewing and this patriarch that he's interviewing, and then his relationships with the children and also his thoughts on his career. And it's very moralistic. It feels a little succession-y to me. It's a great New York family that's complicated and messy, but very smart and successful and powerful. I remember reading it, loving it, did not put it down, started it, did not put it down until I finished it. and immediately thinking, this has to be adapted. It would be a phenomenal story. The characters are so rich.
I'm surprised it hasn't been.
Same.
Who do we have to call?
I know. And I do feel like this is, it's not a deep cut. I think it sold pretty well the year that it came out. But I wish more people read it because I think it's phenomenal. And it's so a really good. Enjoyable read. A lot of it, he's a baseball fan too. There's a lot of good baseball lore in it. It's excellent. Anything else you want to add about it? I'm trying to think if there's a good similar novel that if you're... I think fans of Succession, but it's not as businessy. It's more about the relationships for sure. I love a novel about a journalist. Always love that.
Any story about a journalist is going to be my favorite. It kind of reminded me of The Imperfectionist.
Yes,
in that way.
Another great book.
Which I also loved. But if you are listening and you make TV adaptations, The Index of the Self-Destructive Acts would be a really good adaptation. So check it out.
Absolutely.
Okay, our next one on the list is Daisy Jones and the Six by Taylor Jenkins Reid. If you have not heard of this book, I am genuinely shocked. I feel like it was everywhere when it first came out as a book, and then it came out as, was it an HBO series?
Amazon.
Okay, it came out as an Amazon series, and it was everywhere then. But it is a story of basically like a Fleetwood Mac-like band, and it follows the band trading off narrators. They are older now, but it's looking back on the creation of the band and their most successful moments, and then kind of the demise of the band. And all of the relationships are sticky and complicated, and it is told in these little vignettes, so it moves very quickly. I remember reading it because it was a beautiful day in the summer and I had all day, and I don't remember which book I had on me, but it was a very heavy, like sad book, and I was sitting in the park, and so I just walked to the closest bookstore and I was like, what looks like candy? And I picked it up, and then I sat down on like leaned up against a tree at Prospect Park, and I finished the entire book. And it is a book you can read in one sitting. It is very satisfying in the kind of almost Gossip Girl like way where everyone is sort of sleeping with everyone.
Yeah, I like that comparison. It's very, it takes place in the 70s mostly. It's like great 70s culture.
Very charming characters. And if you like Fleetwood Mac, you'll just really like
it. I love this book. Admittedly, I watched the Amazon series first. Or I started it.
I still haven't watched the series.
Oh my God, what? You have to watch it.
I know.
I think that the series is kind of slept on. And so a lot of the book is sort of a will they, won't they between the two main singers of the band, Daisy Jones, and the main guitarist. And their on-screen chemistry in the Amazon show is some of the best chemistry I've ever seen. I was obsessed.
Which is so important, because when you're reading the book, that's what it is. Like,
yeah,
you can feel this, like, oh, no one has chemistry like these two people.
Yeah, they have this magnetic attraction. Yeah, great for, I mean, I think anyone would love this book. It's why it's been so popular, but especially music fans, obviously fans of Fleetwood Mac and the music of that era.
Also, any Taylor Jenkins Reid, I guess I read The 7½ Husbands of Evelyn Hugo for a book club as well. She just writes like very propulsive books. They're difficult to put down. So if you just need something that you can fall into for a few hours without having to do too much work, she is a great go-to for that.
Yeah, and the form is fun. It's like a giant Rolling Stones interview.
Yes.
Okay. Next on our list is one of our all-time favorites, Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow by Gabrielle Zevin. This is about two college students. They meet in childhood. Sadie and Sam, they meet in childhood, and then they reconnect as college students. and they start designing video games together. And it's about their lives, both separately and together, from childhood when they first meet, and then when they start working together in college and afterwards on video games, which sounds, if you are like me, you might be like, video games? Don't write it off because of that. It's really about telling stories and how you may create meaningful experiences for people, and how you connect with people through different mediums. It is beautifully told. The friendships, the way it describes friendships, how just friendships evolve throughout your life, the stresses on friendships as you're growing up together and working with people and you care so intensely about what you're working on.
Every person I know who has read it has loved it. Very accessible, both as a video game person and a not video game person. Both of us, admittedly, not video game people, but just a beautiful story of friendship. And I think the unique place friendship has in your life, especially long-term friendships and creative partnership, and the value of all different kinds of love.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful, so easy to fall into. I remember I almost missed my subway stop because I was almost done with it and I was crying on the subway reading, and I went an extra stop and had to walk back home because I just could not close the book.
Yeah, I had the same moment. You'll start it and you will immediately fall in love with these characters and not be able to part with them. I was devastated when it was ended, or when I finished it, because I didn't want to say goodbye to all of them.
I wanted to live in the world forever. Yes.
Yeah.
Ugh, we loved it.
I know. A great one for vacation when you have time to just
live
in
it
for as long as possible. Yeah. Okay, tell us about Gone Girl, because you recently read it.
Yes. Okay. So I feel like Gone Girl for me was the girl with the dragon tattoo for you. And that I have obviously heard of it. I've seen the movie. Love the movie. But I never read it. And over break this year, over Christmas break, I just picked it up. And it is so good. Just such a satisfying story about women who plan.
I love that.
It is a love story about crazy people. But the narration is so interesting. And I feel like everyone knows the twists at this point, because it's so much a part of our cultural consciousness, especially with the movie being so successful and the book being so hugely successful. But even knowing what was going to happen, I was still tearing through and just so impressed by the way she pulled it off. And it is so interesting and so impossible to look away from. And the movie is an incredibly faithful adaptation to the book. I feel like I have a new appreciation for the movie after reading the book. And then I watched the movie again. Turns out fantastic. But
I feel like I'm due for a reread on that.
A good dive in. I think especially now living in New York, I have a different appreciation for having to give up your Brooklyn brownstone and be moved to Missouri. I'd probably Gone Girl someone too.
Sure. You're an apologist. Well, I haven't read the book.
So
yeah, exactly. So this makes sense. I haven't read the book since it came out. I know I've read it, but I don't have a meaningful memory of it. So I'm due for a reread and a rewatch. I like this as a task for me in the year ahead.
Yeah.
My next vacation.
So good.
Okay. We maybe need to pick up the pace a little bit here.
Yeah, let's cruise.
Let's cruise. Let's clip through these. We have two more in the category of reads like an HBO miniseries. The Most Fun We Ever Had by Claire Lombardo is a family saga. We keep saying it. We love a family saga.
We so do.
This is about a Chicago couple, the Stevensons, I think it's the Seversons. And it's about the two of them. And then they have four daughters, and all of them are in the Chicagoland area. And it's just about the relationship and the marriage. And it's a true domestic novel and a family novel at its finest. I loved it. I loved each of them. They are extremely imperfect characters, but they're writing about sisterhood and parenthood in marriage is, it's fantastic. It's highly entertaining. You immediately just feel like you've walked into their home and just are sitting at their coffee table while they tell you about their life. I loved this quote from a Goodreads review. Imagine a perfectly crafted mashup of Little Women in the Corrections. Hilarious one moment, haunting the next, and always, always so authentic and deeply felt.
Yes.
That sums it up. It's as homey and cozy as Little Women with such lovable characters, but has the humor and the complexity and some of the wryness of the Corrections. Highly recommend. Phenomenal vacation read.
I still think about some of these characters. We read this book in 2019, and I still think about some of these characters today. And frequently Google Claire Lombardo to see if she is writing another book.
I know.
I just found she is.
Oh my God, amazing news.
2024, same as it ever was.
Fantastic. Claire Lombardo, if you are listening, we are so excited. We are super fans. We cannot wait. Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, since 2019. I'm like, where's Claire?
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay, that's the best news I've heard all day.
June 18th.
All right. Oh, perfect. Right in time.
I'm so excited.
Summer vacationing. Okay.
We can't wait.
The most fun we ever had, Claire Lombardo.
Our last one is Catch and Kill by Ronan Farrow. So this is another kind of journalist book, but this is a real life journalist recounting the challenges that he faced as he was chasing the stories of Harvey Weinstein's decades of sexual assault and abuse. And as he was speaking to women and making the case against Harvey Weinstein and all of the obstacles he came up against while he was trying to write this story. And it was fascinating. Kind of reminded me of All the President's Men. And just to see how you are uncovering this story. And if you are interested in anything like journalistic work, if you like, it was really well written and it was a pretty harrowing tale to think about how many obstacles he had to overcome to get this story out. And it just really, the culture around complicity and power was so interesting and a really well done book. I could not put it down.
Yeah, I had the same experience of it. I think, I mean, Ronan Farrow is on staff for The New Yorker, and it felt like a New Yorker article in the best way, just longer.
Yep.
it has amazing pace. There's some pretty complex subjects that are easy to understand and follow. You are riveted. You are with him. You feel like you're just a side-along reporter with him the whole time. And it's, like you said, it's a case that we all know really well. We experienced it also. And to get the kind of like inside baseball and the backstories, it's fascinating. You'll devour it.
Great. Well, that is our Reads Like an HBO miniseries. Our next section is kind of things to pull from your I know I should read that list. So old classics, things that you always intended to read at some point, but that you could actually get through on a vacation.
Things that you're like, oh, you probably have it on your bookshelf, and you're like, I'll read that someday when I have the time. And some of those books, I have this list, I have this bookshelf. Some of those books you bring on vacation and you do not pick up, or maybe you read 5 pages the entire length of the vacation because they're just not vacation reads.
Yeah, and so, don't bring Moby Dick on vacation.
No, do not bring any Karina that. I have done it. I have carried it with me for 2 weeks and read 10 pages.
Yeah.
Don't do it. I don't know when the time is for that, but it's another time. The ones that you should read on vacation, we pulled out. And you've probably heard of these. We're not going to go through the plot details or anything like that. But we're just going to plug them as these are classics. You should absolutely read them. And you can actually clip through it on a lounge chair by the pool or in a ski cabin. You can dive into it. They're a little easier in terms of guiltless reads and ones that we absolutely love.
The first one on our list is Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. This is one of my all-time favorite novels. for the book club at school that I sponsor, the question we had last week was if you could read a book again for the first time, what it would be. And I did say Pride and Prejudice, because what a glorious experience that was that I wish I could have again. And you could have for the first time if you have not read Pride and Prejudice. Also so fun because so many movies are based off of Pride and Prejudice. And you can read it and then think about You've Got Mail and Bridget Jones's Diary. All of the wonderful movies that are based off of our beloved Elizabeth and Mr. Darcy.
And I will say that I think I've reread this three times. I've probably read it four times. Some of the rereads have been more enjoyable than my first read was Forced in high school. And I loved it. But if you haven't read it in a while, read it on vacation.
Yeah. The thing about it is that you always kind of start, I feel like I start with Jane Austen like a little eye-rolly. I'm like, yeah, we get it. It is a novel of manners. We're walking around. And then I'm like, oh my God, the letter.
You're like, it's the best like, novel I've she ever gets read.
I'm in. Mm-hmm. I am here. I am seated. Show me. Mm-hmm. Tell me. Jane Austen, I am yours.
Okay, tell us about Rebecca, because this is the only one on this list that I have not read.
You haven't read Rebecca?
No.
Okay, you should read Rebecca. Rebecca, I read during COVID, but it's by Daphne du Maurier.
Du
Maurier. Well.
We're not sure.
Regardless.
It's by Daphne.
Read Rebecca.
Sorry, Daphne.
I loved your book. Rebecca is a story of a young girl who marries an older widower and moves into the house. And it's a sort of thriller because you're not sure what happened to the ex-wife and she is settling into the home. It's kind of eerie throughout, but never too spooky or too thrillery. But a really interesting relationship novel. If you like the song Tolerate It by Taylor Swift, she has claimed that was partially based off this novel.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I think I knew that, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
But very good. And another one where you will just clip away at it. It feels so easy to get through. And there is a Netflix movie of it, but I heard it was bad and I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, it was Armie Hammer right when his script was coming out, which sort of sunk the movie. But leaves it open for a new adaptation in the future.
Great.
Okay, next up, we have one of our absolute favorites. Ashley and I both love Elena Ferrante's My Brilliant Friend series. There's four of them.
The covers, I will say, are a little lackluster. And you might think, by the cover, doesn't look that good. At least that's what I did, having had it recommended it to me so many times. They are phenomenal. It is the best story of friendship possibly ever written, or at least female friendship.
Yes.
I'm trying to think if there's any other story of female friendship that I feel like rivals it.
No.
I don't think it's
the most accurate depiction of female friendship.
Mm-hmm. It follows two best friends from their childhood into adulthood in Naples, Italy, and they move around in Italy, but it's mostly in Naples. It's outstanding. If you haven't read it, bring the first one on vacation, and I guarantee you will read the next three within the next several weeks, because once you start, you cannot stop.
On vacation, yeah.
Yeah, I think that it's in top 10 favorite books of all time for me, and and they are, they're very readable. They're phenomenal. Bring them on vacation. You started on the plane and you'll be wishing that you weren't landing. Down.
I am a very sleepy person. I do not stay up reading that often. Reading those books, I was up until 2 a.m. without even noticing it multiple times because the writing is so propulsive and the story is so good. I could not stop reading them.
Mm-hmm.
I had to pace myself. Like I had to force myself not to immediately pick up the next one because I was so sad that they were going to end.
I did the same thing. I made myself wait. And by wait, I mean, I think I waited like a week.
I was like, okay, you have to read another book before you can pick up this one.
Yeah. Oh, they're so great.
The next one we have is The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood. This is another, it is another dystopian novel, but just really fucking good. I don't know.
Yeah.
Television another show, one also good.
Where I feel like it's easy to be like, oh, it's, you know, published a couple decades ago. Am I going to like the writing? Even though you know it's a good book and you know that the story is good, am I going to be able to read it and be invested in it? Yes.
Yes.
It's exceptional. It is the best. There's a reason that it's on the list of some of the best books of all time.
It is incredibly good. And an enjoyable read, honestly. The writing is so good. And it's short. It's fast. You will get into it. And it's difficult to put down.
Yeah. I think if you're a fan of contemporary thrillers and you want to read, and maybe you want to read something a little older, a little more complex, a little more challenging, you won't even, this won't feel different to you. You'll enjoy this just as much as Gone Girl. It feels very similar to me in terms of pacing and...
So true. Yeah. I will say June, though, not really a girl who plans.
No. June is doing the best she can in the circumstances.
Yeah, that's true.
Do we wish she had a little more of a plan as girls who plan? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
But, okay, speaking of girls, tell us about our last book on this list.
Okay, Little Women.
Little Women.
It's wonderful. I read this
My
as
Little
a
Women.
Child on vacation and devoured it as a child, as a little woman myself. I can remember reading this on the beach as a little girl and loving it, and then I reread it as an adult, and it's excellent. It's it's like there's nothing else like it in terms of sisterhood and that specific period of time and growing up and figuring out who you want to be as a woman. But it's just lovely. I think the movie is great. Both movies are great. And if you loved the movies and you've been thinking I should read the book.
Read the book.
Read the book. Bring it on vacation. You will read it. You'll get through it and you'll love it. Okay.
Excellent.
Those are our classics that you can actually read on vacation and will actually enjoy as a part of your vacation. And now, category 3, somewhere between Hallmark and the Pulitzer Prize. Book candy, book romance that is just delicious and syrupy, but also it's not going to rot your brain. So these books, like us, contain multitudes. There's romance, there's complexity, there's sorrow, there's joy, there's intrigue, there's secrets. So beachy reads, but with a little bit of oomph, a little intellectual toughness.
Great. Why don't you tell us about our first? So we've got two to start with. We've got two authors that we love that you can pick up either or any of their books that we would recommend. So why don't you start us off with the first one?
Okay. So we love Curtis Sittenfeld. She's got probably almost 10, 12 books now. But for this category, we especially want to plug some of her older books, Eligible and Prep. I can talk about Prep. It's about, it inspired a campaign for me in high school. I really rallied against my parents advocating for them to send me to prep school after reading this, because it's about a girl, a high schooler who goes to prep school in New England. But I would say it's Gossip Girly, but less pulpy. It's just a little bit more of a serious novel. But don't let that turn you away from it. It's excellent. Her prose is just phenomenal. She's so readable. She captures the female experience really well. I haven't read Eligible. You'll have to tell us about it. I've been saving it, frankly, for a vacation because I know I'm going to love it.
So Eligible is a Pride and Prejudice rewrite.
Yeah, that's right.
So it is basically a modern retelling of Pride and Prejudice that is set in Ohio, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Just good fun, honestly. If you like Pride and Prejudice, you will enjoy just turning the pages of this book.
Really good fun. She feels like someone who's going to like have 4 glasses of wine and then have the most insightful remarks and just be an absolute blast to hang out with. But it's really smart.
I would love to be described that way. That was the most beautiful description of someone.
Well, you are that for me already.
I'm like, wow, I too would like to sit with Curtis, and I also would like to be that. I want to be that person.
Curtis, we aspire to be you, or at least you are in our minds.
The idea we have of you. Yeah. Our next author is Lily King, and we have a couple to plug for her Writers and Lovers and Five Tuesdays in Winter. So Five Tuesdays in Winter are short stories. I always like a short story on vacation because you can take it in chunks. So if you, especially if you are on a vacation, like when you go with a group or you know you're going to be really busy, it's nice to be able to just sit down, read a story, put it away for as long as you want, come back to it. Mm-hmm. And Five Tuesdays in Winter, I just found so pleasant. I read it over Christmas a few years ago, and it was one that I could just pick up and put down. And she writes so beautifully about people our age, people of all ages, different relationships, different friendships. And I found it to be a really satisfying short story collection.
Yeah, I love Lily King. She feels, I think if you're a fan of Sally Rooney, you'll love Lily King. To me, Lily King feels like my mother's version of Sally Rooney.
Where, that is a great description of her.
Yeah. Where I'm like, I want to visit my mom's version of that. Does it feel exactly in line with my experience of the world? No. But does it feel like this sort of beautiful past version that's also familiar and loved by me? Yes. And very relevant in its own way. Just the best. We plug Lily King forever. I love Euphoria by her too, but that's a very different vibe. It's more of like, but I will say, if you love Lily King and you've read Five Tuesdays in Winter and Writers and Lovers, definitely go for Euphoria. Couple them all out. She's
yes. Great. Writers and Lovers is about, as you can imagine, a writer and her lovers. but I always enjoy a book about a writer. I find that typically quite pleasant, and I thought this was one that was really relatable and really, again, easy to get through. We love Lily King.
Yeah, a perfect companion on vacation. Okay, I'm going to clip through two that we've discussed before.
Great.
The Racial Incident by Caroline O'Donohue, which we talked about in the last episode or the episode before. It came out this year. Ashley and I loved it. I've recommended it to so many people. My mom loved it. My brother's girlfriend loved it. My boyfriend's sister loved it. I feel like many different women in my life with varying tastes and varying overlaps have loved it. It's about, I think it's kind of loosely based on her college experience. It's about being in college in Ireland in the early, I want to say like the 2010 era.
It's sort of, we've talked about Dolly Alderton.
Yeah.
And this is the kind of book I expected her to write based on, if you loved Everything I Know About Love, this is for you.
Yeah. It's about being in college, really. It's about being a girl
and being
in
a young
college adult. Yeah.
It's about friendships and falling in love and defining yourself and messing all that up.
Yeah. Making hard choices and trying to figure out what you want to do with your degree and struggling and who you're going to be in the world, but also drinking a lot of rosé and smoking cigarettes in the port and not having heating in your house. it captures that time period so well, and the characters are great. And Caroline O'Donohue is a phenomenal writer. She's great. She has a great podcast too called Sentimental Garbage.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I really listened to that.
Yeah. It's a great podcast. I especially love her coverage of Sex and the City, which I would say if you're a fan of Sex and the City, you'll probably love The Rachel Incident. It feels like that. It's just a really fun depiction of being a woman in your 20s.
Love.
And then I talked about One Day earlier because it was just adapted. I remember actually reading this on a trip and like putting off a dinner plan because I was like, I have to find out what happens. Can we push the reservation back an hour? It's a love story. A will they, won't they, between a couple
who meet on the last day of college, and then you visit them on one day a year for the next 10 years. It is extremely emotional.
I threw it across the room.
Yeah. But I think that it takes a special kind of writer to write that type of emotion and actually make you feel it viscerally.
That's true.
Yeah. I don't really think that I can think of anything else that has inspired such an emotional response in me.
And I felt it for days. Like, I was in a fog.
I still feel it when I think about it. I'm like,
which was why, my friend, Megan, watched the show, and she was like, so I watched this show called One Day, and I just felt myself as a 17-year-old in my high school bedroom again, like, throwing this book across the room in devastation. And I was like, oh my God. It is an emotional read, but it is wonderful.
Yeah, and it talks a lot about, it takes place mostly during their 20s and the weight of the decisions you make, both imagined and real, and the value of relationships. But mostly the characters, Emma and Dex, you immediately love and you love through each version of them. So a perfect, to me, this is the ideal vacation read.
So the last one we have in this section is You Made a Fool of Death with Your Beauty by Awake Emezi. I love Emezi. I love everything they've ever written. Freshwater is probably my favorite. The Death of Vivek Ohi is so good. They are prolific. Right now they are rapping, but have 9 novels, do young adult, poetry. This is a romance novel, and I am not huge in the romance genre, but I love Emezi so much. The writing is incredible, and it is a romance that I don't want to give too much away about because the romance itself is kind of a twist, but deals with love and grief and coming to find yourself in new spaces with new people. But their writing is some of the best contemporary writing I've read. Very poetic, very lyrical, so beautiful and easy to fall into. I read it when I had COVID a few summers ago and just like it was the highlight of my 5 days at home. And I read it in a day because it was so beautifully written, and I just could not put it down. I needed to know what happened next.
Okay, that's a great plug. Okay, all those fall somewhere between the Hallmark line and the Pulitzer Prize line. for book candy that won't rot your brain. The last category we have is armchair travel. No spring break, no problem. And we're going to present these based on, we're going to start with, if you're in the mood for traveling here and you can't, which I'm not on spring break, so I'm with you on this, but you still want to feel like you're traveling, try this and it'll make you feel like you're there or has a really strong sense of place. So number one, if you're itching for an Asian vacation and you want to be immersed in Asian culture, you should definitely read Pachinko by Min Jin Lee. It's another family saga. We love them. This, I think, is one of the best. It's about generations of a Korean immigrant family. So they immigrate from Korea to Japan. And it takes place over decades and decades and decades of this generations and generations. And so there's a lot of history in it, a lot of culture, but most of it is just about family and sacrifice and the relationships between grandchildren and grandparents and parents and children. And I enjoyed the book by itself. The writing is great. The story is great. The characters are great. But then I learned so much about the relationship between Korea and Japan. You really feel like you're there. I absolutely loved this book. I devoured it. I would read it on vacation somewhere else, but I would especially recommend it if you're at home and you want to feel just enthralled by Japanese culture in Korean culture and dip your toes into that.
Perfect. So our next one is if you want to imagine that you are in Amsterdam, we recommend The Miniaturist. So it is set in Amsterdam in the 1600s. Yes?
Yes, that's right.
So 1600s Amsterdam, and it is about a woman, Nella, living in a small town, and she marries a rich, respected Amsterdam merchant, and then we follow their relationship and their marriage. It was incredible historical fiction. If you are interested in historical fiction, we loved The Miniaturist. A very fun way to escape into something entirely different than where you are and what you are doing.
I loved this book so much. I loved historical fiction as a kid. And I think that historical fiction is written really well for children, but I'm often disappointed with adult historical fiction. I think it feels a little childish sometimes. And I picked this up skeptical, and I loved it so much. It reminded me, like, reading when I was a kid. I was completely engrossed. You feel like you're in Amsterdam. Whether you've been there before, you'll recognize the street names and the landmarks and the places that Nella is living. But if you haven't, it paints a perfect picture. You feel like you're on the canal with her, and it's wonderful. This is one that I wish I could read again for the first time. It has a real magic to it.
Yeah.
Okay. Next, we have The Essex Serpent by Sarah Perry. And if you're craving kind of a moody, windswept, cold, beachy, cabiny, cozy vacation, picturing like the Pacific Northwest or maybe Maine in the winter or the coast of England, Essex, in the winter, this is for you. It's about a female she's a woman. It's important to be female because I said female as if I was like describing a dog, but it's important that she's a woman because it is in 1800s London when females are not respected in the scientific community. Ashley, I hear you snickering over there.
Just you tripping over women and females just makes funny to me.
She is a female scientist. She's a woman.
She's a girl woman. Scientist.
She's a scientist girl.
A lady scientist.
Yeah, she's a lady scientist. And she is not taken seriously by her peers because of her gender, her femaleness, and her womanness. But she's called out to the coast to investigate rumors of this like giant sea serpent that is legend to live in the area and that the people living in this small coastal community believe is killing and pilfering off the children and killing the animals and wreaking havoc and creating chaos. And so she goes out there to investigate, and it becomes about her investigation into the landscape, into this myth, but also her relationships with the people there. It's extremely moody. It's a great winter read, and you can almost feel the wind, you know, sweeping across your face in the spray of the sea. I loved it. It has such a strong sense of place, and it's really interesting. And I think good for fans of other myth-based stories. If you love The Song of Achilles or like Greek mythology, anything like that, I think you'll love The Essex Serpent by Sarah Perry.
Okay, for our last armchair travel, we're going back to Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Ash, give us a little more about it.
Yes, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo is a great book or series to dive into if you want to explore Sweden at large, Stockholm specifically. It goes from the city into the country, and you feel both kind of enveloped in Stockholm and then in the frigid countryside with the main character. We know how much you love this. What would you like to add to our Girl with the Dragon Tattoo?
I do feel like I have to stop talking about it because I'm starting to sound insane, because it's kind of a masochistic book too. There are parts of it that I'm like, I don't know. If I come out as a rabid fan, it's going to make me look a little odd.
Yeah, do you want to be the poster child for The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo?
I don't know. I feel that perhaps.
It's maybe too late.
It's not up to me. It's already happened. Yeah. But
you're certainly my poster child.
I am a huge fan. I just have to own it perhaps. But one thing that I really liked about it is that it gives you specific street names in Stockholm and mm-hmm. specific places in the rest of Sweden, which is super fun. So you can Google Maps it and actually see where these places are and kind of track it and put together your own mental map. No, but Sam and I are thinking about going later this year because I became so obsessed with this book. I was like, I have to go to Stockholm. And a few other books too. I love the Knausgård series is in Stockholm also. Yeah. No, I'm going to go do – I think they have tours you can take.
Oh, I'm sure there's a whole pilgrimage.
Totally. Yeah. But, I mean, you definitely feel like you're in Sweden while you're reading them. Great armchair travel.
Great. Do you want to tell us about the next on the list? We have an author with two books. So do you want to tell us about the first book by Paula MacLean?
Yes. So Paula MacLean writes historical fiction, and we love two of hers, Circling the Sun and The Paris Wife. And I'll talk about Circling the Sun. It's a fictionalized account of a true story. A female pilot named Beryl Markham. And this is in, I think, like the 1920s, I want to say. Yes, 1920s. She's an aviator, and most of it takes place in Kenya, where she's flying in kind of like the jungly safari area. I was going to call it the bush, but I think you only call the wilderness in Australia that. What do you call the dense jungly parts of Africa?
You know, off the top of my head, I simply don't know.
We're not
dense,
sure, but
jungly parts of
dense jungly parts of Africa
is maybe an insane Google, but
but it is very, very adventurous. But a lot of it is just like the 1920s drama and glamour that we love from other books of that era too, Gatsby-ish, Passing-ish, perhaps. And she's such a great writer. It feels, I know, bolt it back. you really feel like you're right there with her in Kenya in 1920s, which I have to say is a place that I did not think that much about before I read this book, and it completely captivated me. And captivated, I think I just made that word up. It completely captivated me.
I'm kind of into captivated. It's like you're held captive by it.
Exactly. I was captivated by depiction of life in Kenya in the 1920s.
I would say I have
highly recommend
the opposite experience with The Paris Wife, in that I think about 1920s Paris all the time. The Paris Wife is about Ernest Hemingway's wife in Paris and her experience kind of living with a literary genius who is also a very complicated man, and it does just put you right in everybody's favorite, every English major's favorite era. Just kind of throws you into that literary world with the expats, and you feel like you are walking around with them, but you also get this really nuanced picture of what it is like to love a really complicated person and how you navigate that, and how you can also love yourself throughout that experience. And I loved it. I thought it was a really – I mean, that's a total guilty pleasure era for me. But I thought setting was beautiful. And who doesn't want to escape to Paris at any given time?
It's true. It's true. Yeah. These books feel very, like, cinematic to me. I feel that they have sort of a movie quality that makes them very readable.
I see that.
Wonderful.
Great. Well, that wraps up our armchair travel, which wraps up our what you should read on spring break. So speaking of amazing, what you should read, do you want to tell us one more plug for Redwood Court?
Yes. When we come back in 2 weeks, we're talking about our next book club book, which is Redwood Court by – I've read it already. Ash, I think you have your copy. I loved it. It's a really charming, heartwarming tale of a girl living in Columbia, South Carolina in the 90s. And it's told almost in these little vignettes. They're like short stories focusing on different members of her family. And her relationship with them and their history and in what's going on in her life. And it's just, it's delightful. I can't wait to talk to you about it.
I am so excited to read it, and I am so excited to chat with you about it. If you want to read along, you can pick up this book at your local bookstore, at the library, if you're in New York and you want to borrow it from me. Or, Catherine, where's another place?
You might be able to. You can enter our giveaway, our Instagram giveaway at BookFairPod on Instagram. And we're going to keep plugging it because your chances are high. I have entered so many Instagram giveaways in my time on the gram. I have won zero of them. Partially because there's always thousands and thousands of people entering. So who am I kidding? Of course, I'm not going to win. But you could actually win this giveaway because we're not getting that many entries, which is great news for you. And we're not going to make you do anything annoying, like tag five friends in the comments. Delana,
so embarrassing. Public humiliation.
Because that's so annoying and we hate that. You just have to tell us what you're reading. That's it. Just tell us what you're reading. Should we read it? Are you liking it? And maybe you could win a copy of Redwood Court.
Amazing. Anything else to add for this episode?
No, it made me want to go on vacation.
Me too.
How fun would it be to do like a little book fair trip, group trip, where we all...
A pilgrimage. Should we all go pilgrimage. To Sweden?
Maybe so. Maybe so.
Catherine, can
I'm
going to
make
us?
You all obsessed
through her obsession.
I'm actually she'll creating
take us
a cult.
Through the streets of Sweden, and she will be able to name every street from the book. We
it's
will all
true.
Be impressed
I'll point
and a little
out
worried.
Every landmark. Yeah. But it'll be so fun. Are you kidding? No, but it would it's be true. Fun to do a little group trip. A little book fair retreat, perhaps. Let's put that in the hopper. It doesn't have to be to Stockholm, but, you know. I'm not going to say no to
Should
that.
Should probably go to Ireland.
Yeah. No, that's what I think would actually be really cool. Considering, A, how much Irish literature we read, and B, I just have never been there. Neither have you.
I don't know, I have been to Ireland. There are very few places in the world that I have been that you have not been.
I know. I can't believe that I have never been. Maybe that's why I keep reading Irish Lit. I just have to.
You're yearning.
Keep trying to access it in some way. Yeah, I know. I would love to do that. Okay, friendo.
Well, buddy,
that was a lot.
This,
we got a good list.
This has been a delight.
Here. It always is.
As always, wonderful talking with you, reading with you. Thank you to everyone listening and reading along.
Yeah, if you read something off one of these lists on vacation, either spring break or later this year, let us know. Report back. Or if you're on vacation right now and you're reading something that is awesome that we should know about, send us a DM. Tell us what you're reading.
All right. Happy reading.
Happy reading.
Bye, buddy.
Bye, buddy.